Professor, if somebody builds a big enough collider, are they going to be able to prove, either affirm the fact there are extra dimensions or murder the theory?
Well, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not a theory. There are many different possible theories that have to do with extra dimensions of space. One of the really exciting pieces of work that I did, though, it has to do with explaining the weakness of gravity, and we can come back to that. But if that theory is right, it will have consequences, not just an imaginary particle collider, but a real particle collider, something that's going to collide together protons, and it's going to turn on next year. So in a few years' time, we might conceivably have evidence of extra dimensions, particles that travel in extra dimensions and have extra mass because of that.
Did this theory develop merely because there was no other way to explain some things?
Well, strictly speaking, there are other ways. It's just that if I told you all the details of the other ways, you probably wouldn't be convinced. I can tell you, I can make a theory that explains it even without extra dimensions, but it's very unsatisfying. It's so complicated that you can't believe the world possibly looks like that. I mean, it could turn out to be right, or it could turn out that we're missing something. But we haven't yet found a really elegant solution without invoking extra dimensions.
Can you imagine, Professor, the nature of these other dimensions?
Well, for us, what the nature of the other dimensions means has to do with a couple of different things. It has to do with what the geometry of those dimensions are. That is to say, are they flat? Are they curved? What do angles look like in that? Is it like a sphere? Is it like a flat piece of paper? Is it like a saddle or higher dimensional analog of those questions? So one of the things just has to do with what the shape of those extra space-time dimensions are. What are their geometry? But the other question has to do with, you know, what's out there? What sits in those other dimensions? And that's the other question we're trying to get at.
Do you think it's possible that life, this is so hard, but life as we know it or imagine it could exist in these other dimensions?
I think that life could exist. I don't think it's going to be as we know it or as we imagine it. I think one of the likely possibilities is that there are other regions of in extra-dimensional space, other regions that have completely different chemistry than what we have here. Our chemistry could really be associated with our location in space. It could be that the stuff that we're made of, the forces through which that stuff interacts, really is located just where we are. And in other dimensions, there could be completely other stuff, obeying different equations of motion, different forces. And if so, if there is life, it's going to be such a different type of life that we couldn't even imagine it right now.
In other words, the physics of another dimension might not be at all the same as they are here.
The same basic principles apply, but something as simple as, do things interact under electromagnetism? The answer to that question might be no.
That would be a big difference.
It would be a big difference, but it's a pretty likely difference.
Really?
Well, see, it has to do with these objects that are called brains. Brains are membrane-like objects in higher dimensional space. You can almost picture them as sort of like a curtain in higher dimensions. Or if you think of it as a shower curtain, you can imagine stuff could be stuck on those brains, like water droplets stuck on a shower curtain.
Huh.
And if those brains exist, and electromagnetism is stuck on our brain, really electromagnetism is only experienced on our brain, then we know that anywhere else in space you will not be subject to the force of electromagnetism.
Oh, my. So it's almost impossible, then, to even imagine what a life form existing in that dimension might be like.
Well, I think we'd have to start doing some serious work. It is very hard. I mean, there's so many questions there because we don't even know what life really means fundamentally. We'd have to really get to that question, and then we'd have to think about what would things look like if there were different types of forces and different types of masses. Really just change parameters and see what happens. So we've got some hard work cut out for us if we want to answer that question.
Would you imagine that communication with another dimension might ever be possible? Or let me modify that to say the extraction of information from another dimension might be possible with something, for example, like a quantum computer?
I don't think we necessarily will do with a quantum computer. We might eventually, if we're very lucky, get gravitational signals. Again, this is a really long shot. Gravity is very weak. I'm not anticipating this is going to happen anytime soon. But it could be, since we know gravity does communicate within all dimensions, it could be there could be communication via gravity.
Via gravity? I need to think about that.
It could be that there are gravitational signals, gravitational waves, gravity that emerges from another dimension that we detect here. Really, a gravitational wave might be a good example.
So you could actually almost send a signal with a gravitational force, yes?
Basically, when you move, suppose a cataclysmic event happened. Suppose two black holes collided into each other somewhere in an extra dimension. Well, that would create a huge gravitational wave signal, and conceivably we could see it.
Okay.
It really depends on the numbers, though.
All right. SETI...
I want to emphasize, this is very speculative.
Hey, that's the road I walk.
As long as we know we're on that road.
That's right. So we've got SETI, which is looking for, you know, radio signals near the hydrogen marker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should we have an equivalent of SETI looking at anomalous magnetic waves?
Well, magnetism, it's not really that different. I mean, really what you'd like ultimately is to get better gravitational detectors. Because the point is that if we're assuming that those other life forms are experiencing electromagnetism, suppose they're not. Well, then how are we going to know about them?
Well, right, but you did say the most likely way might be gravity.
Well, I didn't say the most likely way, but you asked about magnetic detectors. You mentioned gravitational detectors.
I'm sorry.
And we want to get more sensitive gravitational detectors before we embark on this. We're just at the beginning stages where people are beginning to search for gravity waves, even for things that we know about within our three plus one dimensional universe. So we really want to get that technology under control and really get it up and running. And then once we have that, we can start answering questions like
with,
that.
With that which we already have, are we seeing a lot that we don't understand?
We're not seeing very much yet. It's really just turned on. They're not sensitive enough yet. They really have to increase their sensitivity before we'll see anything, really.
Huh.
This is new technology.
It's
really a new era of technology. I mean, aside from all these speculative applications, it's going to be very important for physics to detect gravitational waves. It could tell us about astronomical objects. It might tell us about cosmological phenomena. It could be just a new window into the universe.